I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun. Because you deserve the truth.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is Christopher Boozy. We haven't talked in a while, so I know we have a lot to chat about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Christopher Boozy. Welcome back to the show, Christopher.
Hey, Kimberly. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's been a while. We haven't talked for a while. It's been a wild time in America, and I'm really curious to know your thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of questions for you. But why don't we just jump right in? And I know you're paying close attention to Jasmine Crockett and her bid in Texas. So let's just start talking about it.
Yeah, you know what? I have been posting a lot about Texas, and there are folks who are mad at me. And
why?
You know what? Because they feel like, oh goodness gracious, you know, they feel like James Tallarico, who mm-hmm. is her opponent. You know, he's this altar boy, you know, and folks don't seem to understand, like, you know, folks on the left, unfortunately, sometimes fall in love with politicians mm-hmm. and they often don't see their faults. Mm-hmm. They get mad when you point out certain things. And we've seen this quite a few times in the past. But what they don't seem to understand, like, I didn't just get on this Representative Jasmine Crockett bandwagon. I actually was supporting Representative Crockett before she became a U.S. congresswoman, because mm-hmm. I had, you know, seen video clips of her in the past, you know, taking it to Republicans and things like that. And I was just like, okay, she's going to be a rising star. Mm-hmm. I started paying more attention to her and her career. So I've been a supporter of hers for years. And, you know, with one, you know, anybody who's ever listened to like the town halls we've hosted and stuff, like I've been bugging her to run for everybody knows this. So, yeah. but there are folks that are, you know, mad. So look, I really wasn't going to, you know, like comment on Tallarico or anything like that. But what ended up happening, you know, you had these influencers from the left, mm-hmm. white influencers, I'm just going to keep it real, mm-hmm. that were going out and encouraging people not to donate to her, that she has no chance in hell of winning Texas, just saying a lot of different things that was starting to rub me and other Black folks the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So look, and I know you're going to have some questions. Let me just put it like this. All right. Look, it's Texas. It's going to be an uphill battle for anyone, whether it's Representative Crockett or James Tallarico. It's been, God, it's been over 30 years mm-hmm. since Democrat has won that seat. The reason why I do think she can pull it off, and this is the thing that people are overlooking, is that we, meaning Democrats, have the largest number of Black voters in America that are in Texas.
Wow. Time.
Yes. First thing, it's reported that there are more Black folks living in Texas than any other state. But definitely, yeah. Now, folks will argue and say, well, there is no, and this drives me crazy, you know, we don't have any party of registration, affiliation, or whatever, and how do you know this, that, and mm-hmm. third? Well, there's modeling that's done, and that's where this is coming from. But anyway, so there's an opportunity here that if there are a lot of Black folks, people of color, that are excited about this race, that she may be able to bring out our base in a way mm-hmm. that we have not seen before in a very long time. James Tallarico, the reason why people are really touting him is because he is saying that I can appeal, right? I can appeal to Republicans. I can appeal to those folks that are, upset with Trump and maybe had been MAGA and all this other stuff. The problem is we haven't really seen this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And the argument becomes, well, James, if you can really do that, why you didn't do that when he was in a previous district and they, of course, redrew it and it became redder and he fled that district. He fled that district for a district that would be easier for him to win. Well, if you had these Republican superpowers that you could be the Republican whisperer, you would think that he would have tried to put that into practice in the district that he was already representing. He did not. But anyway, so the reason why I decided to really become vocal about this, because I did not like the fact that people were lying about her, saying that she was taking AIPAC money, which this has become this boogeyman thing. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. She never did. How she is, you know, the pro Israeli government. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
She has spoken out against Netanyahu and all these other things. So that's the reason why folks are mad at me. But this, let me just say this, and I know, like I said, I know you have questions for me. This is a primary.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the voters in Texas are going to decide who they want representing them in the Democratic primary, and then hopefully. And, you know, in the general, hopefully mm-hmm. she wins. But this notion, which also drives me crazy, that, well, you know, this is Texas, and why do you care? Yes, that will be your senator. But these senators also affect all of our states.
Of course, yes. They're fucking voting on national things.
It drives me crazy when people say this.
Mm-hmm.
The same way we have Fetterman right now doing Fetterman things, his votes affect me. They affect you.
Yes.
They affect people in California. So I do have a stake in this race, like every single American does, because at the end of the day, we don't want another Fetterman.
Yeah.
In the Senate. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are going to be people that are going to be angry with me for saying this, but he is giving Fetterman vibes. And the reason why I'm saying that is when they had their debate and he was asked, you know, would you impeach Trump? Of course, you know, Representative Crockett said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she right off the bat and gave he danced around and said, well, I need to look at this and I need to look
oh my God.
At them and that. And I'm just like, sir, every day we're witnessing the fascism that's happening in this country. What evidence do you need?
I know.
Yeah.
God, it's fucking, it's so infuriating.
No,
I just don't understand. You know, there is a group, and it's not the entire Democratic Party, obviously. You just said, you know, Crockett was like, hell yeah, I'll impeach him. And we've got a bunch of really strong people, but then we have this other group of people in the Democratic Party that are too fucking wishy-washy for this moment. And I'm sick and tired of the pearl clutchers. I'm in a mood today. Everyone's on my last nerve. You're not, but everyone, so many people are on my last nerve. And it's like, I'm seeing so much ignorance. I'm seeing so much tribalism. I'm seeing so much emotional decision-making, as opposed to just looking at the facts and going on the facts and going on what makes sense. I see so many people on our side. And when I say our side, I mean democracy, the side of democracy. And I just, it's so frustrating. And I'm trying not to just say fuck every other word. I don't know. Today's going to be a hard one. So no, but yeah, it's extremely frustrating. And then it's like, I saw when she initially announced that she was running, and I didn't follow this too closely, so correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I did see that there was criticism from the left about her based on stupid fucking shit like her makeup. Have you seen that?
Oh, I mean, there have been folks on the left that have criticized her about a lot of different things.
It's like they loved her and loved her and loved her, and then she's running for the Senate, and all of a sudden now, what's their problem? I don't understand. I guess I do understand.
You want me to be honest?
Yes.
The left also has a problem.
With racism.
With racism. And I've said it on your show before, and I'm going to say it again. There are folks within the Democratic Party that would like to see it move more in a certain direction. And I warn folks about this. Look, what makes the Democratic Party, you know, look, it's not perfect. It's not great. Yeah. But what makes the Democratic Party what it is its diversity. Mm-hmm. And we need voices, of course, Black and brown voices. But of course, we need, you know, voices from different parts of the country that, you know, so for example, you know, Manchin gets a lot of he gets a lot of heat and rightfully so for a lot of different things. But he was representing a state that was hard for Democrats to win. Mm-hmm. So you have to, your politics are not going to be the same as like a Democrat from New York.
Exactly. He's not going to be like Mamdani.
Right. Exactly. So it does have to be a bigger tent. And I will not get any argument for me there. My pushback, though, with it's like you have folks who are previously Republicans that no longer fit within the Republican
right.
Party. Because the Republican Party is like super MAGA. So now they're trying to turn the Democratic Party into a Republican light party.
Yes.
Yes. That's not going to work.
No.
That's not going to work. And these folks are not.
That's what Joe Walsh does. That's what Joe Walsh is doing.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, and there's others. There's others.
Oh, I know. There's plenty of others. But Joe Walsh completely lost my respect. I had him on my show multiple times, and everything that I've seen from him, and it's funny because I'll tag him and I'll fucking call him out and he just ignores me. But, you know, he everything he's doing is he's just trying to bring the party to the right, and he's calling it, you know, I'm a Democrat now. Fuck off, Joe. Sorry. You know, I mean, I have absolutely no patience for people like that. I'm all about if somebody was on the right and they decided, okay, I don't like my party anymore, I don't care that they're full on progressive or anything like that. They don't have to be like the Elizabeth Warren wing of the party like I am. But it's like, you have to understand, like you just said, it's going to be a diverse party. There's going to be some centrists. And if you looked up, I can't stand fucking Joe Manchin, but if you look up his voting record, he voted with the Democrats a lot. I don't remember what the number is. High percentage of times that he voted with the Democrats and caucused with them. So there were times when he didn't and times when he fucked us up. But I know what you're saying, because you're not going to get Mamdani going into West Virginia and saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to win. He can't win in West Virginia. But when you look at that race that happened in New York and then in Virginia, you had, oh, God, what's the woman's name? I don't know why she's escaping. Abigail Spanberger. They both ran on kind of the same idea as far as affordability, but they had different messaging because it was different states. And so, yeah, I mean, I wish more people would just use common sense. It seems like nobody's using common sense right now because we're just, there's just so much, you know, what's the Steve Bannon said, we're going to fill the zone with shit. There's so much shit in the zone and everybody's just kind of whacking out. And I want everybody to be a little bit more responsible when it comes to how we're communicating online, because it's not just the political influencers with lots of followers who have all the say. It's just, it's all of us. We're all, you know, all of our opinions are out there and everyone is seeing them. And I just, I don't know. It's like I said, I'm in a bit of a mood today. Everybody's pissing me off. So, there you go. But I, you know, I haven't watched this race too closely with Jasmine. But I take your word on it as far as thinking that, you know, it is possible that she can win. And I hope that she does. But did I'm sorry, please. What was, did they rule that you can't do the gerrymandering in Texas? I can't remember what the.
Oh, no, no, no. They can now.
They can. OK. Yeah. And so Republicans want to do it or and so what's going to happen there then if that happens? Is it going to be worse or better?
No, it's going to be better for Republicans. And
OK,
of course. There are Democratic, you know, states that are now counter it by doing their own thing. But look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like any of this. I don't like it from Republicans and I don't like it from Democrats. We need to stop this. I think these maps need to be drawn fairly across the
board.
I don't want Republicans gerrymandering things and I don't want Democrats gerrymandering things. So this is something that's going to have to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to take a constitutional amendment. I don't know exactly how we do this.
But you know what? Oh, God, I don't know the name of it. Bob knows the name of it. But it is some kind of an act or some kind of piece of legislation. And it's got a funky name, and I just can't remember it. But I think we only need 4 more states. And if 4 more states were to sign onto this, it would basically be popular vote. It would override the Electoral College. I just wish I could remember the name of it. And Bob Suska knows about it. He's talked about it multiple times. But yeah, there that could happen. So we wouldn't even need a constitutional amendment. But I agree with you. We need to fix that. Because right now, the way that our country is set up, it is not. It was set up by framers hundreds of years ago who could never anticipate what's happening now.
I don't think anybody was able to anticipate.
No.
What we're seeing right now, because they assumed that you would have quote unquote patriots, people who
were
about the country, that would push back against someone like Trump. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you have an entire, I shouldn't say an entire party, but the majority of a party that have fallen in line. I mean, look, I tell people all the time, If we had a functioning Congress, meaning we had Republicans that actually really did care, none of this would be happening right now. Trump, because, you know, they're getting the thing that frustrates me most about this is Trump is giving them a lot of cover, meaning mm-hmm. Republicans in Congress. This can stop overnight.
Mm-hmm.
If they really cared about this country, they can get articles of impeachment.
Yep.
They can convict him and remove him if they really cared about this country. And I want folks to understand this. Yes, Trump is a terrible person, and we all want to see him out of office. But do not let the people who are enabling him
mm-hmm.
get away with it.
Exactly.
That's
yes, that is, and that's what we have a tendency to do. I have this theory, though, that the worse it gets, the better it gets, because people are usually not move to action until they become uncomfortable. And so, I mean, I've been saying this forever. That's why half of the voting population doesn't do anything. They just aren't paying attention and they're not moved. So when they start feeling uncomfortable, when ICE starts, you know, infiltrating their neighborhoods and taking their neighbors, all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. And so, you know, I mean, I will talk about that in a minute. But I think that the worse it gets, the more people are going to go, oh my God, we have to fix this and we have to change this. And there's just going to be more of a motivation to have sweeping changes. And I hate saying that because I don't want it to get worse. But I look at how we are as a people. you know, as humanity, how does humanity oftentimes, you know, it's the cigarette smoker that waits until they get cancer to stop smoking cigarettes. And that's kind of what we've done, right? We have allowed this fucking disease to take over. He was already president once and it was bad enough, but he had guardrails. Now he doesn't have any fucking guardrails. And I think we're just experiencing, I mean, I always try to take the hopeful thought from this. And what I hope is that, and what I think is happening is all of this just horrible corruption, whether it's the Epstein, we already know about Citizens United. We already understand that money shouldn't be in politics the way it is. We've been talking about that for a long time, even though nothing got done. But now that this Epstein thing is happening the way it's happening, all this stuff is being exposed. And the only way out of any situation is through it. So it's like, I get, you know, it's like, I hate this fucking Epstein. Everything that we find out about him is just, it's stomach churning, but I feel like it's the way out. And I hope that that's what we choose to do as a group. And we keep getting in our own way. But I want to switch this over to Pam Bondi because yesterday, well, before I get into her fucking performance yesterday, I am just going to take this moment to get on top of my soapbox and yell at everybody who is posting these, they're altered graphic, they're memes, right? Of other pictures, because I don't know what her name is. There was a picture of Donald Trump and he's standing with this model and she has short brown hair. I mean, short blonde hair. She's wearing like a blue dress and it's sleeveless. And they're basically superimposing what looks like it could be a younger Pam Bondi on it. And then everybody's sharing it. It's all over fucking Facebook. And nobody's fact checking. And FYI, people, this is how you fact check a photo, at least when you're on a laptop or when you're on a computer at your desk. You right click and then it says search with Google Lens. And then there's all this stuff that comes up. And what you're looking for is a point of origin. If it's just that this picture has also been posted on X and all the other fucking social media sites, there's no point of origin. It means somebody created it in Photoshop or Canva or one of these things. And they're sowing chaos. And all these people, and then what happens is, because there was a couple of people, I've seen it everywhere. And I commented on a few and I told this man, I said, you know what, it would be better to remove this because it's destructive and people don't know what to trust. When we just see all of these memes that are based on nothing and you're sharing them because you want to believe it. You want to believe that Pam Bondi was an Epstein girl. And this guy fucking emailed me and he was like, I really don't think that I'm not going to take it down because, you know, people can see in the comments what you commented and it's, they can see that it's not, it's like, yeah. How many people are reading all the comments all the time? They're not. It's just like headlines. They just share. And it's making me so angry. I wish people would stop. And then they justify it by saying, well, the right does it all the time. So what they're saying is, well, then I'm going to be just like the right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, fuck off. I'm blocking you. So, okay, I just got off my soapbox. So Pam Bondi yesterday, oh my God. I just want to hear what you have to say about it because she was, her behavior was so sickening. I don't understand people like her or Megyn Kelly. What's your takeaway from yesterday? I know deranged. You have one.
Deranged.
Yeah.
Deranged. Pam Bondi needs to go to prison.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Pam Bondi. I don't believe in just locking people up, but she lied on the oath.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what we're witnessing here is like North Korea, where mm-hmm. you have folks that are just saying things to please the dear leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're asking her questions about Epstein and she's talking about the Dow and the craziness.
Unbelievable. While the fucking victims are behind her and she won't look at them.
Would not look at the victims. Or and I like the term survivors better. Jasmine Crockett said, will not look at the survivors, would not acknowledge them, and then was very combative with mm-hmm. The Democrats who were questioning her. But here's the other thing. Did you hear this morning that it's being reported that book that she had, the burn book, you know, the Apple research, mm-hmm. that our elected officials who were doing their research, who were going in and searching these files and stuff, that they were monitoring.
Yes.
Prison.
Yep. And
remember they used to say lock her up with Hillary? Lock her up.
Yes.
The best I could say here is deranged, because there's no other way to describe that performance. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, somebody described her as a mean girl, and it's like the way she was shouting, you know, the way that she would arrange her face in that ugly, you know, twisted manner. She was deranged. She's basically behaving like a Nazi. I mean, you know, we used to get in trouble for referring to Republicans' behavior as, like, you know, comparing them to Nazis. You could get thrown off of Facebook for that. Now it's like that's what they're doing, and everybody accepts it because that's the truth. And we, you know, people were trying to fucking warn about it years ago, and then you would get, you know, kicked off of Facebook or something like that for even saying it. And now they're behaved because what's her name? Megyn Kelly's doing the same thing. You know, I mean, she's not the attorney general, thank God. But still, her behavior is exactly the same. I look at these people and I just feel like this is, we are seeing a modern, you know, they're fascists. You know, Nazis were the German, what happened in Germany, but it's the Nazi party. I know there was the Nazi party came to America in like the 1930s in New York. They had this big thing. Fortunately, it didn't take then, but it's taking now, and it's the same ideology. It's the same. And so that's how they're behaving. And we're just seeing who these people are. They're showing us who they are. And I'm hoping that it's disgusting to I mean, I hope that more of the people, you know, there's all these people in this country who are, you know, they're married or they're single parents or whatever. They've got their kids and they're not paying attention. So they've got school, they've got to pick their kids up, they've got all this shit to do, they got to make dinner. They're not watching the news. And if they don't know what's going on, you know, how can they know what's going on if they're not paying attention? But back to Bondi, I think that somebody like her, maybe people, I don't know. Are people going to start paying attention to these kinds of women? Are they going to be okay with her? I don't understand. There's this woman that I watch on YouTube, and she has nothing to do with politics. And I know her mother is a full-blown MAGA. And I don't think she is. I'm pretty sure she voted for Kamala. I know that, you know, she gave indications that she voted for Kamala. And I think she also voted for Joe Biden. But it's like she never, ever, ever, ever talks about anything. And she never, you know, on her page, she doesn't talk about politics, which I think at this point we should all be talking about what's happening because it's not political. But I'm like, I wonder, like, people out there like her, you know, she's got a family, she's raising her family, she's a single mom. Does she even know any of this stuff is happening? Do you get this, like, what's happening? You know, obviously I know the country's not watching C-SPAN, but we all are online and we're seeing images and we're seeing video of what's happening with our Congress and, you know, these hearings and whatnot. Do you think it's making a real impact, or do you think it's still mostly people are just not paying attention?
That's a good question. I don't think enough people are paying attention. Mm-hmm. I think though, I hate saying this, but white folks getting executed on American soil, a white woman getting shot in the face, another man being executed, has woken up some folks.
Mm-hmm.
If it was proud of black folks, maybe not so much.
Right. No, it wouldn't.
You know, let's be honest. But I don't think enough people are angry. I got to be honest. I still don't think enough people are angry. I think they're going on as business as usual, mm-hmm, and just hoping for the next election. Now, I will say, though, and I still think it's early, but these results that we've been seeing with these special, mm-hmm, should terrify Republicans. It should terrify Republicans. And I do think, you know, I do think there are some that are starting to get the message and they're like, but for the most part, they've hitched their wagon to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, okay, let's see where this goes. But I still don't think enough Americans are angry.
No.
And that's the problem.
That is, you know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and the area that I live in is incredibly diverse, right? So there was a new checker And I have never seen her before. She was wearing a hijab. And if I say that, I hope I'm saying that hijab. I don't know. I hope I'm saying it correctly. Anyway, we started talking and I don't know, somebody brought up something political. And so I do not shy away from talking to people at the grocery store. So anyway, she said something and I looked at her and I just said, I'm really, really sorry that America is such an awful, hostile place right now. And so she kind of shook her head and agreed with me. And so we just, you know, started having a conversation about what was happening. And I asked her where she was from and she said Afghanistan. And I'm going to guess that she was probably about, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. And so we were talking about Minneapolis and she was aware of some of what happened in Minneapolis. But she brought up ICE and she says, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not overly concerned right now. And I just said, well, they're not here yet. I said, I mean, ICE is everywhere, but I think that, you know, at some point it's very possible that they're going to be deployed here like they were in Minnesota. And then she says, well, they're only taking criminals. And I said, no, they're not. And I said, I saw today there's just about 70,000 people who are in detention camps and 12 to 17% of them have committed crimes. And her eyes opened so wide. And she says, well, now you're scaring me. And I felt so fucking bad. And I said, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I said, but it is scary. And I said, you know, I'm a white woman. But I'm also a woman and I'm a woman. I said, I have a podcast and I have, you know, a decent following on social media and I speak out against the government. So I don't know what that means for me. Right. And, you know, I was just trying to kind of make her understand that while she is, you know, it's valid for her to feel frightened. It's not just her because they're not just going after criminals. And and it was like, I felt bad for telling her that, but I think she represents so many people who are just not aware. And granted, she was very young. So when I was young, I didn't know what was happening. I guarantee I would know what was happening if I were 22 right now. But, you know, she's this, I don't know how long she's lived in America, but I'm sure she went home, you know, and I told my mom, like, I'm like, I feel so guilty and I feel so bad. She's like, well, you know, you did her a service. You told her the truth. Now maybe she can prepare. Because I did tell her about indivisible.org. And I'm like, look, I don't know what, you know, you could benefit, but that they organize No Kings marches. They have, you know, they organize different things in local communities so that we can fight fascism, you know, in easier ways than maybe knocking on a stranger's door. You know, blah, 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 blah. I just said, have a plan. Just try to have a plan because I know that they're probably going to come here. I live so close to DC and it's like fucking All Nations where I live. You know, I can't imagine. And it's blue. So it's like, that's where he's targeting. And I don't know what that means for me. And it's like, I mean, I want to ask you that because like you're a black man. How do you feel just walking? I mean, right now I'm assuming where you live, there's not a big ICE occupation, but providing one were to come into your community, how do you feel going to the grocery store?
No, I think again, excellent question. I mean, where I'm at right now, there have been pockets of ICE, not too far from out of that in Newark. Also, we've seen stuff in Jersey City as well.
Yeah.
You've had folks, you know, pretty much like, hey, get out of our city or mm-hmm. get out of our town. You know, I live in a diverse neighborhood, but it is predominantly Hispanic. Hmm. The mayor where I live at is Hispanic, and a lot of the police officers, thank goodness, come from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that if you want to have, you know, the best policing you possibly can get, you try to get police officers from the neighborhood that understand the neighborhood, the people and things like that.
Right.
So I said all to say this, the ICE would have a very tough time coming into my neighborhood at least because the folks here don't play around.
Yeah.
And they will stand up. It's one of those neighborhoods where, you know, people just look, they work hard, they mind their business, but if you come into the neighborhood with other folks, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
But you look, I do care about, you know, my better half. She is mm-hmm. a black woman, but she does look Hispanic.
And she's so gorgeous.
Thank you.
She looks like a freaking Vogue model.
But I worry. You know, I do worry because, and I even said to her, like, you know, we may have to start walking around with our passports because these people are insane.
Yeah.
You know, look, as a Black man living in America, I have to tell you, some of this stuff is not new to us.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
You know, we've been telling folks for years, like, hey, you know, a lot of this stuff is going on. The difference now, though, it's a lot more blatant. Mm-hmm. And I said this in a conversation weeks ago when Renee Good was murdered. She was murdered. Mm-hmm. I said, we have never seen a white woman being shot in the face on the news by a federal agent before. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that in my lifetime. Yeah. I don't know about you. And I said that I do think this is a pivotal moment in what's happening. And then a few weeks later, we see this happening again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to say I'm terrified because, like I said, this being a Black man growing up in America, we've had to deal with things like this with police and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's going to get a bit worse before it gets better.
Yeah, it will.
I think the person who's in office right now is trying to distract from the Epstein files and his connections to it. I do believe somebody who's named over 37,000 times had some type of connection more than just, you know. And people need to come to grips with that. Mm-hmm. People need to come to grips with that. So, yeah. But I do think people should be concerned regarding ICE. And I hope and pray that when Democrats do take over the House, and let's hopefully with some take over the Senate, that they start to rein this administration in and start to have these hearings that are substantive, and they need to impeach him. Now, I don't know if he will be convicted or not, and I know there are going to be people that say, well, you know, they did this two times already. Why are they, at least for the sake of history,
yes,
impeach him again? They cannot allow this man to continue to do what he's doing. They need to do whatever they can do to hold him at bay until our next election.
So I told you when we started this that I was probably going to keep you for 45 minutes, but I'm going to keep you longer. And you told me how long you have, so I'm going to keep you longer because I have more things to say. And sure. I want to hear more things from you. I do want to just quickly throw this in here because I want to talk about the midterms. But there is a guy, and I know his name is Daryl. I just don't remember his last name, but he's somebody that I listen to on YouTube every once in a while, and he's a Black man, and he's just like your average guy, right? He's not some famous guy. But he has a pretty decent following, and he just weighs in. And after, I don't know if it was before or after, it was probably after Renee Good was shot, he said, more white people are going to have to die. And he's like, I don't want them to die. But the thing, and he's right. It's so sad because that's what this country pays attention to. When Black people, because Keith Porter was murdered on December 31st and he was a Black man and we didn't hear about it. But then Renee Good is murdered. And that, of course, that's what we hear about because, and we should hear about all of them, you know, and then Alex Pretty, because he's a white guy and it's awful what happened to him. And it's awful what happened to Renee Good, but it's awful what's happened to so many Black Americans. And I mean, you're hearing this all the time. I know Christopher Webb had posted something not too long ago about, I think it was on Substack, and he, you know, he was like, you know, white people, Black people, this is what we've been going through for a long ass time. And he was talking about what, you know, he bought, I believe it was his son, a brand new car. And he's like, the reason I bought him a brand new car was because I didn't want to risk him, you know, because of some broken taillight or something like that being pulled over. He wants to decrease the chances of his Black son being pulled over by police because we all know why. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it because I don't want anybody to die, but I agree. There's going to be more white people that die. It's going to be shocking. And I do hope that it wakes up all these fucking people who have just stuck their fingers in their ears. So I'm sorry. I'm such in a bad mood today. I'm so angry at everybody. Okay. As far as the midterms are concerned. Now, I have some fears, and I want to see what you have to say about this, because the fears that I have are, number one, the House passed the SAVE Act, which isn't that the act that requires you to bring your I think like your birth certificate or something like that. And if your name isn't the same on your birth certificate.
Yeah, some type of ID and shit like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the, way that could disenfranchise women who are married is if their birth certificate has their maiden name on it and then they have their married name, it's not going to match and they're going to turn you away from the polls. So if that's passed in the House. Okay. So we've got that. And then Steve Bannon just threatened to send ICE out to all of the, you know, all the places where we vote. And of course, there's the idea. I don't think that Trump's going to be able to do the Insurrection Act and stop the elections, but I absolutely know they're going to do everything aside from all the obvious shit that they're always doing, the gerrymandering, the voter suppression. There's all of that. But what do you think is, I mean, I know right now, like you said, I'm sure Republicans are freaking out because they can see ever since Trump got in last year, Democrats have been fucking sweeping and flipping big numbers. So what do you, what's your gut telling you about how this is going to play out?
So let's, before I get into that, because look, the last time I gave you a prediction was in 2024. And that didn't go too well. And people remind me of this daily. But I also want to say this because it's really important, because what people do not remember, and I got the receipts, I went on a whole tangent for about 2 weeks about if you push Biden aside, it's going to be disastrous.
Yeah.
In November. I went on a whole thing about this. I had maps and everything. And mind you, my map that I put out almost resembled the final, you know, the map when Trump won or whatever.
Yeah.
The reason why I ended up, you know, moving away from that is because of all the folks that were just like, I'm going to vote for Kamala. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I wasn't the only one who got it wrong in 2024. There were a lot of folks who've been doing this a lot longer than I have also got it wrong. It was really a hard election to gain.
Yes, it was.
Now, that being said, you know, here in America, there's a few things. First thing first, and I keep telling folks this, Americans are crazy. Sorry, Americans, we're crazy. It's a crazy country. It is.
It is.
When you start to take away people's rights and things like that, especially here in America, they start to push back. If he did do the Insurrection Act, you're going to have Democratic states that are still going to hold their elections. They're going to defy him. In terms of this particular act, the SAFE Act, do not think it's going to pass the Senate. I do think this is just all political theater.
Okay.
But they are going to do everything they possibly can to make this election harder for folks to vote in. There's no doubt about it. That's what they're gearing up to do because they know what's going to happen. Now, regarding the National Guard and things like that, look, there's not enough National Guard to go around this entire country and pulling, you know, locations and trying to intimidate folks and do all that other stuff. And if you do that, that actually may piss off more voters and make them want to even vote more and pay attention. So I think we're fine.
Okay. In
terms, however, do not underestimate this administration and do not underestimate this DOJ. Yeah. Pam Bondi is deranged and she will weaponize the DOJ at the will of the president. And the president is deranged and the people around him are deranged. Just understand right now we're living in a fascist government and we need to stop pretending like we're not. We are. This is a fascist government. And Democrats right now don't really have any power. But I'm not going to lie. I am frustrated more with Chuck Schumer than Hakeem Jeffries.
Me too.
A little grace only because we have not seen him in the leadership role in terms of majority leader just yet. But we have Chuck Schumer, and I'm going to say this to your listeners. We need to get rid of Chuck Schumer.
Yes, 100%.
We need to get rid of Chuck Schumer. I would like to see somebody else in that role. He has shown us time and time again, he is not equipped for this moment in time. We need fighters right now. Yeah. We need people who have the tenacity, but also who have the courage to stand up to this administration. We don't need quote unquote legislators right now. We need fighters.
Yeah.
Right now in this moment here. So I think we're fine in the midterms. I do.
Okay.
And I am cautiously optimistic about these special elections that we've been seeing. They're not, look, you know, people tell you just because you win a special election does not mean
right.
And I also agree with that, but I think the pendulum has swung hard. I think folks who were just like, I don't want to give this black lady a chance, I'm just going to go back with Trump, are now like, oh my God, what the hell did I do? What the hell is happening right now? And they're just trying to, you know, make up for the mistake that they made in 2024.
Oh my God. Well, I just, you know, I mean, I really hope, I know that the way that we are going to win like massively big is just like I said, the worse they get. So right now, like I had a friend call me up yesterday and she's like, okay, I know you pay attention to politics and you know, you know more than I do. So is it true that these concentration camps are being built? I mean, they're detention centers, but they're I'm going to call them concentration camps. Yes. I'm like, yes, it's true. And she was like freaking out, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, this has been their plan. This is what they want to do. I mean, it's obvious what they're doing. And, I'm wondering this, I'm a little nervous about the summer. And I mean, I totally get what you're saying. You're like, I'm a black man. I have experienced, what white people are kind of now starting to experience. This has been my life, in many ways. And I get that. But I mean, with this whole thing with the concentration camps, like, do you have any idea what we're facing this summer? Because I'm worried the summer is going to be really fucking awful.
They're going to continue to do the fascist shit that they're doing now, and they're going to ramp things up because part of this is to scare vote.
Yes.
Look, everything you're seeing right now, do not get this mistaken. This is not about deporting immigrants.
Right.
I mean, that's the side effect of what's happening, but this is really about elections. This is why they're, you know, in Minnesota, they're like, well, we need your voter data. What the hell does your voter data have to do with you deporting folks and going after quote unquote people who are here illegally?
Yeah.
This is about the election. And there's a few things here. One, if people are scared and you intimidate people, then they're less inclined to go out and vote because they're scared. That's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that they're trying to do is what you said earlier. They're trying to rig this election. They're trying to, and what I mean rig, I'm not talking about voting machines, folks, but I am talking about they're trying their best to put things in place to sway it towards Republicans. Because they know historically, the House typically goes to the part that's not, that is not in control. Meaning that if you have a Republican or Democratic president during these midterms, it typically swings to the other party.
Right.
People want checks and balances, things like that. So historically, Democrats would already be in a very good position, but because this president has gone full fascism with these fascist folks and you got Nazis running around, little Nazis running around, shooting people, the American people have had enough.
Yeah.
So we, look, at the beginning of all of this, no one was really thinking that the Senate was in play. It was just more about the House, getting the House back. But the Senate is in play.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because this is where I'm really ignorant and I knew that. So why is the Senate in play now?
Okay, because first thing first, you got a whole bunch of people retiring, saying I had enough. Same thing in the House as well. But because, and these are assumptions, because I don't want people to say, oh, here go Boozy at it again. I just want to be clear because y'all give me hell for 2024. The other thing is that these special elections are indicating, and I just want to be clear here, a special election is not a general election, but they're indicating that Democrats are overperforming in places they should not be overperforming. And if that continues to happen, then you are going to see these purple-ish states where we may not have a chance, all of a sudden.
Now we do. Right.
Right. So anything can happen. Yeah.
That's true. And the thing, and one thing we can count on is this regime will get worse. And so more people will be upset and angry. And I can only imagine that by November, it's going to be such a horrific shit show, because this is it, right? If they, you know, Republicans totally know if Democrats dominate the midterms, they're fucking toast, because then if we get the Senate and we get the House, we can totally clip whoever's the president. The last question I want to ask you about is that, but you know, it might be J.D. Vance by that time. We don't know. But if it's Trump, it doesn't matter. We can clip their power. I mean, there's still going to be fascism. There's still going to be the ICE situation. But I think, you know, the Democratic legislature could curb some of what's happening. And so that really could almost be the whole ball game, right? If we can just get, if we can get a blue House and blue Senate, we could really, really stop a lot of what's happening. There, it's not going to stop everything. But so now I want to ask you though about my last question. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody likes, everybody thinks Trump is so, I mean, we all see that he's very unhealthy. He's got all that ridiculous spackle on his hand. Mm-hmm. It's basically been determined that he has frontal, I think I'm going to say this right, frontal temporal dementia. Mm-hmm. And there was a PhD who came out with a Substack who wrote about it, because I guess a couple of people, there was some guy, there's a man that I follow online who was talking on, I'm sorry, on Instagram. And I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who always gives, say, Trump's has a couple months to live. But anyway, mm-hmm. he thought he had Alzheimer's. And a couple of people were thinking that those shots, or that he was getting something in his hand, and it was because of an Alzheimer's drug. So anyway, this PhD was like, no, he doesn't have Alzheimer's. He has frontal temporal dementia. And he gave all the indications as to why. It's the way he stands and he leans and a bunch of stuff. So, okay, Trump is very unhealthy. We know this. He probably has heart issues, and he's got maybe something wrong with his kidneys or whatever. So let's just say he, you know, goes away, right? He no longer is on this earth because of natural causes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it appears it would be JD as president. What do you feel? Because I think that's a realistic thing. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but let's just say hypothetically that it does. It's totally plausible. Or even next year. It doesn't matter. What do you think happens? Because like before you answer that, I'm just going to say that although I can't necessarily predict exactly what would happen, what I can predict is something that big is going to have an unexpected, there's going to be something unexpected. Like we can have certain things that we can expect this and we can expect that. But there's also the element of that, I don't know, the thing that we can't predict if there were a J.D. Vance presidency because Donald Trump is no longer president. So what do you think?
Okay, so first thing. Now, look, I'm not a medical professional. I can't diagnose anyone with anything, but I have eyes. Okay, so what I mean by that, so if I'm, let's say, if I'm in a room with someone and they're coughing, they're sneezing, their nose is running, I know that person is not feeling well. I mean, right. That person has the common cold, the flu, they may have COVID, they may have something right. else, but I know that person is not well.
Right.
I see the president of the United States, who used to golf religiously, no longer really golfs. I see this bruise that is on his hand. Both of them. But the one in particular I'm talking about is when he had the black glove on, mm-hmm. Looking like a Bond villain, by the way. I said, why didn't they just give him two gloves? Why is he wearing fine. I mean, because it was freezing outside, so no one would have never noticed.
Right.
But when you have one glove on, people are going to notice, but whatever. And then, you know, we get these Epstein emails, and in one of those emails he talks about his cognitive decline and how
right.
Trump was at a party or something, an event or something, And he did not recognize people he knew for a long time. This was back in 2017.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever had a parent or a loved one who has had cognitive decline, whether it's been Alzheimer's or, you know, something else, know the signs. Clearly, he's going through something right now. Now, regarding how long he has, I'll say this. I have never met someone who was healthy, constantly talking about if they're going to go into heaven or not.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Most people don't think about, you know, going into heaven and talking about heaven. He's been talking about that a lot. So that leads me to believe that we're like you said, JD Vance may become the next president of the United States. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's going to be disastrous for the Republican Party. I'm going to be honest with you.
I agree with you.
And the reason being is because first thing first, they don't like JD Vance.
Yeah.
Secondly, JD is not going to be able to have the same control that Donald Trump has over the party. So you're going to have a bunch of folks fighting for power to fill that vacuum, to fill the Trump vacuum. I think a lot of his supporters are going to start to tune out of the process again because their dear leader is no longer there. And ultimately it'll be good for America. I mean just to put a period or whatever exclamation point at the end of this, I think America is in trouble right now. But I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel. And whether that's us voting in the midterms and more checks and balances or some folks leaving this earth, I do think we're getting to the end of the tunnel.
And yeah, I mean, I can totally, I do believe that. I do think, and you know, Jared Yates Sexton has been a guest on my show multiple times. He's a professor, no longer teaching, but... you know, authoritarianism is his thing. And he's so fucking smart. Oh my God. And he usually scares the shit out of me. And actually, I had him on not too long ago, and he did have some hopeful things to say. And, you know, I guess it was last year, some point last year. But I did see that he wrote a Substack article, and it was specifically about ICE, and it was this year. And he said, you know, we're going to beat them. And he wasn't sugarcoating it. He wasn't being Pollyanna. He's like, yeah, it's going to be fucking brutal. It's awful and people are going to die. But that's going to be the reason why we overcome. It's like you're talking about your neighborhood because people are doing that. I mean, I am heartened to see at least, you know, there are some groups of people out there that are like in Minneapolis showing up at schools and forming basically human chains and blocking the kids so that the ICE can't get to them. I love seeing things like that. It's terrifying that people have to put their lives on the line because you do know that if you're going to go out and protest or if you're going to go out and blow whistles where ICE are there, you understand that there's danger for you. So people are willing to take on that danger in order to live in a free country. And so right now, it's not free. Right now, we're being run by fascists. And, you know, I think that it'll be interesting because on March 28th, we've got that No Kings March. Now, everybody needs to keep this in mind. I can't remember what the percentage was the last time. We did not meet 3.5%, but we got closer to it. And so if we are able to see 3.5% of the population protesting, what that I don't know, there might be a name for it or whatever, but what it's shown in history is that autocracy has a much harder time or cannot survive when you have that number of you know, people showing up. And so I think that we're going to start seeing those numbers. If it's not March 28th, I know there's going to be more than, you know, there's going to be more No Kings marches. And I think we're going to reach that threshold. And I just encourage people to, when we see these Democratic wins, to note them, right? I'm seeing fewer people right now with the doom messaging, like we're cooked, we're toast. I'm grateful for that. I wish people would stop doing that. but note the wins in your mind. Go, we won this. We can do this. And remember that, you know, this country has been fucking force-fed the idea that we are free citizens. And while that's not entirely true, we like to believe that it's true. And we get, like you said, very upset if somebody starts coming into our neighborhood and telling us what to do. And so there is this kind of a thing that Americans have that other countries don't have. We were indoctrinated on freedom and, you know, liberty and all that stuff. So we are not just taking this like some other countries who haven't had that indoctrination don't fight in the same way that I'm seeing. So I do believe you're correct that the light's at the end of the tunnel. But Jesus Christ, this is a fucking hard ride. I mean, so I was talking to my dad yesterday and he was like, I don't think we've been anything like this since the Civil War. And, you know, I mean, obviously that's not happening right now. It's not the Civil War. It's a different situation, but we got oligarchs and technology, so it's just different. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad that you have an optimistic attitude. And for what it's worth, you are not the only one who thought that Kamala would win. I remember Wajahat Ali thinking that she was going to win big. There were people that I trusted, and they also thought she was going to win big. I thought she was going to win big, and look what happened. So, nobody is psychic in this way. You know, I mean, we don't know for sure. We're just taking our best guess. So yeah. I don't hold you to anything that you got wrong because you're human. And, you know, I agreed with you based on everything that I saw. And you had information that led you to believe that. So I hope that you're right this time. And I hope that I'm right this time, too. And I could probably talk to you for another 3 hours, but I know we both have lives and we have to go. But it's just always nice talking to you. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love your perspective. And I want to have you back on more this year. So
thank you. I love being here. And anytime.
All right.
Enjoy our conversations. Yeah.
Well, tell everyone where to find you. I know you spend a lot of time on Spoutable. Where do they find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Spoutable or the hellscape known as Twitter, whatever the hell we call it. It's some Instagram. And I just started using Threads, but it's on all platforms. It's CBoozy, CBoozy. But we have to have you do another town hall on Spotable because you're amazing.
Thank you. I would be honored, and I will be less nervous this time. But no, I did the one with the lady from Florida. What was her name? I can't think of her name. God, it's just escaped me.
I think it was Barbie, wasn't it? Barbie? Did you do Barbie? Yes, you did. Or was it Nikki Fried? I can't remember if it was.
No, it wasn't Nikki Fried. It was the woman running.
Then it was Barbie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was that with Jasmine. I remember I was slightly nervous just because, I mean, it's fucking Jasmine Crockett.
You did amazing. You were amazing with both.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that was our first. That was our first town hall.
That was, yeah. That was so cool. And I'll definitely let me know. I'm there for you. So.
Hey. Yep. We're gonna hold a bunch of them this year. Just was waiting for kind of these primaries to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're gonna do them.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, Christopher, thank you so much, and we will talk soon.
Yep.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
History is messy. It's weird, wild, and anything but boring. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a history podcast about unhinged stories that make you stop and ask, wait, is this real life?
From crazy disasters and tasty scandals to enlightening and surprising heartwarming tales, we explore the moments where people behave badly and sometimes beautifully.
We've got naughty politicians, cultural chaos, and a deep love for the Pacific Northwest, including Bigfoot.
It's thoughtful, irreverent, occasionally serious, and always entertaining.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
MSW Media.